Hey everyone, before we get to the next episode and guest, I want to acknowledge and thank everyone for helping my new book, Game Time Decision Making, a number one new release. Game Time Decision Making, like the playbook, will help you figure out how to make those critical decisions to be more productive and accessible to others. Game Time Decision Making not only deals with the decision making process, but also the assumptions we make to get there. And so to continue your support, I have one ask. Either order the book from Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, or contact me directly, or share one with a friend. Once again, I appreciate all of your support for the playbook and for Game Time Decision Making. Let's join our guest on our next episode. On this episode of the playbook, how the heck can you build a billion-dollar company from the back of your car being homeless, and then back it up with another billion-dollar company and on your way to a third? Join me with the co-founder and CEO of Paul Mitchell and the founder of Patron, John Paul DeJorio.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have an ultra entrepreneur, the founder of Paul Mitchell, the founder of Patron, the co-founder now of Rocket, which I think may be, coming from Samsung, the greatest phone I've seen since the first smartphone in 1999 that I ventured into, a Windows CE device. But I'm going to take us back a little bit farther, because you and I started our sales career kind of in the same place. We have our dads left, but I sold encyclopedias. I went to Occidental College, close to where you were born, in Echo Park. Sure. And I needed money. I had a scholarship to school, but I sold encyclopedias. And I think the sales skills of being an encyclopedia salesperson carried me to great successes later on in life.
Oh, priceless education. If I could right now, I would make it mandatory for every one of my children to sell encyclopedias door to door. No, like, I sold for Collier's. Who'd you sell for?
Ours was Britannica. Yeah. It was a full education system, though. They financed it till the kid was 18, right?
But you had leads. I didn't have any leads. Anyways, I'd have them out there door to door, no leads, because it's the best experience in the world. It teaches you how to overcome rejection and not let it get it to you.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
And to that matter, you know, not quitting, as I look through your entire career, is a stealth of what you do. Like, you just, it's not just taking no and turning it into a yes. It's when you were down and out, you know, several times in your life.
Correct.
You slept in your car. You didn't let it bother you at any time. You simply looked and put faith into what you wanted. Where did that philosophy come from? Because it's not normal.
It's interesting you would ask that question. It goes all the way back to selling encyclopedias. In my early 20s, being able to sell them door to door with no leads, you're just pounding on doors, is one of the greatest experiences in the world. Because you can knock on it, which I did when I started out, 50, 80, 100 doors that they say no or close it in your face. You have to be just as enthusiastic to overcome rejection, knowing that if you keep on going and be just as enthusiastic, that's the thing. Be just as enthusiastic on the next door and look what's going on in front of you, not behind you, because you can't change yesterday's newspaper. So when you're down and out or on top of the world, you can't go backwards. Look, what's the next step? Okay, I'm in my car sleeping. I got to eat. Where am I going to get the food? Where am I going to get the money? You look at what the next step is instead of drowning yourself in the past. And that's been a big help. Going back to the encyclopedia days, I know there were times at 9 o'clock at night, and that's late. We're doing appointments. I have no orders in my pocket. I need the money. It's commission only. Yep. And I'm still knocking on doors at nine at night. And sometimes they'll let you in, sometimes they won't. But occasionally I'll get in and get an order. In the back of my head is, when the going's tough, the tough get going. When the going's tough, the tough get going.
And you made it happen. Now, you use the word enthusiasm. And when I look at you, and including when you were a judge, an Emmy Award winning judge on Shark Tank, you're always so enthusiastic, whether it was with the hair care, with the racing and Patron and the liquor. But enthusiasm, entheos, means the God within. There's something in spirit. What is your kind of spiritual or, you know, philosophy, as far as, you seem so inspired all the time with whatever you're doing?
There's no particular pattern or no particular, shall we say, theory that I service or that I adhere to. I just am that way. It was just, I was very, very fortunate. My mother was very positive. She said, you boys could do anything. And we did. We had paper routes when we were young. It's sold flower boxes when I was 7 years old. So we always felt that way. And I come from a background where we really had nothing, but thought we had everything, because we had a lot of love from my mom, even though it was a single parent family raising my brother and I. And we just grew up in the environment of love. Gave us a lot of love. Boys, you could do anything. Go out there and do it, boys. And I believed it.
Yeah, I grew up with five brothers and a sister, single mom, same philosophy. Yeah. And I think, if anything, I'm most grateful for is that ability that she was just so much belief that we could do whatever we wanted and continue to do that. Now, to that point, we both share another thing, is that we didn't limit our point of entry. One of the things I love about you as an entrepreneur is you went from the leading hair care company in the world to the leading liquor company in the world, and now
they weren't there when we started.
Other people told me when I got out of law school into technology, they said when I moved on and became into the sports industry with Lee Steinberg, they said, "What are you doing? You were the CEO of Samsung's first phone division. There's so much to do on Silicon Valley." And I said, "It's business, right?" Is there a strategy that you've had to be able to cross industries and build companies like Rocket?
Yes, there is. There certainly is. And my philosophy is this, and the strategy is, and I did it with Paul Mitchell, even though our backer pulled out and had to live in my car, but it was okay, is this. Two things. One, and I say it to entrepreneurs a lot, be prepared for a lot of rejection, number one, because then it doesn't let you down. You know it's going to come, you continue on. The second thing, and had to do with Paul Mitchell and Patron and now Rocket, is make sure your product or your service is the best there is. You don't want to be in the selling business. You want to be in the reorder business. So with Paul Mitchell, it had to be a product so good that hair stylists who know more about hair than anybody else, and that's all we sell to. If you ever see Paul Mitchell in a drugstore supermarket, it's black market, counterfeit, or out the back door. We don't sell it to them.
Right.
So hairdressers have to have something so good that they could recommend it to their customers in between visit. Patron, the same thing. The United States needed an ultra-premium tequila. We didn't have one. And I thought, by gosh, we need it. It'll take a while to build it. It's twice as expensive. Actually, I think we are five times as expensive as regular tequilas. But we stuck with it, knowing that eventually it's going to take off. Well, little did we know that Paul Mitchell become probably the largest privately owned salon hair care company in the world. Patron, needless to say, number one ultra-premium tequila beyond what the world's ever known. In fact, it was valued last year at more than two times what the most expensive spirit company ever sold for. But we had the great quality there that people loved the quality. They wanted to reorder it. Paul Mitchell, they wanted to reorder it, not just buy it. And the same as with Rocket phones. They are so cool. So this R-O-K-I-T, like a rocket ship, right? These Rocket phones are so advanced and so cool. Why wouldn't anybody want one? It's a very sophisticated smartphone. It has on it telemedicine, it has life insurance, it has roadside assistance,
legal services,
legal advice, everything on there. Unblocked for the world, dual SIMs, Wi-Fi for the world. Why not?
Greatest entertainment phone I've ever seen,
We are so much entertainment on, not just the 3D, and comes across 3D.
No glasses,
3D. But we also have, I think, the largest library ever to go out and sell either phone. Not only of 3D, but other things. And that's something you can't get throughout the world. So it'll be one of my biggest companies. And we priced it. But the great thing was, I didn't price it for $1,500. This phone you see right here, my 3D phone, is $199 retail. My bigger one is $299 that has more time on it, you know, more gigs and everything else. So it's priced, even though it costs me more to make than my competitors, it's priced so everyone could afford it. So if I make a little bit, great. I don't have to make a lot. The bundles are what people are gonna want.
Yeah, you have the hardware itself, the medium, but you, through your experience, know that that high quality experience is what people buy Paul Mitchell for as
well.
And it's interesting because I have a 9-year-old with beautiful hair, and he actually understands brand and identity, and he picks out the Paul Mitchell product. And I think to myself, as a branding and marketing guy, why is that, right? Because he sees and feels that. One of the things you probably don't know, when I retired in my 30s, before I went to Lee Steinberg, I consulted for a guy named Sidney Frank.
Oh, yeah, Sidney, Frank's Grey Goose.
Yeah, and he used you as his model. When he went and commissioned the bottle for $1 million, the beautiful Grey Goose bottle, Lee, his CEO, thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm following Jean-Paul Desoriot. I understand this market has always been a poor man's alcohol, and I'm going to spend the money to make it a rich man's alcohol. Yeah. And he changed the entire face of vodka like you did tequila, and now we have thousands of tequila and vodka companies out there.
And he was the number one selling brand in the world. When he sold that, I believe he sold, it got $2.1 billion.
$2.6 million,
It ended up with 2.1?
Correct.
Okay, anyway, but $2.1 billion is a lot of money, his share of it, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God. So when Patron was valued at $5.1 billion, I thought, oh, my God. And Sidney, I thought, did the greatest job in the world.
Yeah.
So we're happy. But he did a good job. It's unfortunate that he didn't live long enough to enjoy it. Though, but I did what he did. I took a lot of what I made and gave it to my staff.
Yeah.
Which they deserved. I didn't give it to them. They worked for it and they deserved it. So there were a lot of millionaires created there, multimillionaires.
And also the community. I mean, you gave so much back into. I am the chairman of Unstoppable Foundation. We build, with We to Me in Africa. You've done so much around the world.
We believe success and shared is failure.
Yeah. And that's the quote I love. And also you believe in elevating others to elevate yourself.
Definitely.
And you've done so much. And it's not just within your company. The Paul Mitchell Schools, for example, a lot of people don't know how many careers. You can probably tell me, how many careers are created by the Paul Mitchell Schools?
Around, give or take, 15,000 a year. Minimum. Oh, yeah.
How many years have they been open?
We've been open now for about 17 years, approximately. And we have in the United States over 100 schools, obviously, they're all over. They're known as the best cosmetology schools around. And part of our culture on cosmetology schools is giving back. And we have fundraisers. We underwrite the fundraiser, but every dime the kids raise, or our students raise, some are older than just kids, okay, goes to the local community, our country, and the world to make it a better place to live.
That's amazing. Now, what's next? We have Rocket here.
My hands are full with Rocket. Oh, boy. But I am looking also, and I'm involved in oil and gas, but with ecology in mind, of how do you take the oil and gas industry, go out of big time, but help change things? How do you keep the water clean opposed to dirtying the environment? What do you do on stuff like that? How do you get into carbohydrates and make them ecologically balanced? How do you do that? How in the world do you? You dig there, or do you frack and go for oil and gas and not hurt the land? And how do you get that water, not keep on dumping it, but cleaning it? I mean, just, it's amazing. And I'm in that field big time, and I'm very excited about it.
Most very successful entrepreneurs, the biggest question people have is, how does he do everything? You have a beautiful family. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your race cars. You have all types of different hobbies. You're on Shark Tank. You have all these
John
businesses.
Paul Pet, which is so cool, too.
That's really cool, right? But I want to get a really hard question.
Sure.
What's your perspective on time?
Time is the most precious thing we have. And instead of, for me anyways, designating time, like for this hour I'm working on this business, for this hour I'm going to do this, okay? I don't do that. I incorporate it all into my lifestyle. For example, whether it's in the United States or going abroad, many cases I'll go abroad, I'll do a press conference for Paul Mitchell before I would do it for Trone and Paul Mitchell, or if I go for Rocket Phones. But while I'm there, I will talk to some of my philanthropic things. Best example I could give you was many years ago, Nelson Mandela and I were quite tight. I would go to Johannesburg. I would do a photo shoot for Paul Mitchell with my son and my wife with me, do a whole photo shoot, go back and have a meeting with him, and at the same time, maybe Richard Branson and Brad Pitt, who was one of our meetings, talk about how we're going to remove landmines and help the world, right? Then go do a Patron seminar, then fly to a big beauty show in Darwin, across the way. All right, then after that, celebrate my son's birthday on the 4th of July. So that was family, that was businesses, two businesses combined together in philanthropy. That's one example. I put it all together.
And putting it all together is another trick. So do you use other people to help you do that? Or do you, I believe in being a student in my calendar. So
sure.
I study it and to overlap all the different things to enjoy the pursuit of my potential. Do you use a lot of help around you, or is it something that you control completely?
What I do is, I have the greatest, smartest people, much smarter than I, running my companies. For example, Paul Mitchell, day-to-day, is run by my president, the most genius, you know, guy in the world. He's done that for over 12 years. Michaeline, my daughter's involved, you know, as a vice chairman of the company. She grew up in the industry, okay? Alexis handles all of the racing because that's my daughter, Alexis. Best president in the world at Patron. Ed Brown cannot get any better than that. You know, so with each company, I have great people running it, which gives me a chance to think, look at the overall thing more from a chairman's point of view as opposed to every day running a company, and then look at various areas from the outside. An example, let's take an example of outside looking in. I'm computer illiterate by choice. I don't have email. But yet when we put Rock together, I could look at it from a consumer's point of view, from somebody that wants everything really simple, and what I would like to be easy if I ever went around and used a phone like this. And that was some of the things that I put in, other than financial or public relations things that I'm involved in.
And you had that same perspective even way back when with Paul Mitchell, because you worked for one of the largest hair care companies.
I did.
And you had your own strategy, or you know, to get to Paul Mitchell. You looked at what they were doing, but you had a different perspective, and that's why you ended up leaving.
Oh,
or
yeah,
fired,
mine was. I'm
happened.
Not going to test on animals. You are that stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that didn't last long with upper measure. You're fired. In fact, if your audience would, I think, cost $4 to rent Good Fortune the movie.
Yeah.
Rent Good Fortune the movie or buy the DVD. It's a 1 hour and 29 minutes long and shows you about going through two times being without a home, being actually homeless, and I was once with a child, and being fired several times from businesses. But how do you bounce back? How do you believe in yourself? But more important, whether you have money or no money, how to give back along the way, and it makes you stronger.
That's awesome. And you know, to that end, surrounding yourself with the right people and the right ideas, most great leaders like yourself, me, I have these four principles that I look for in people. People will say, well, you know, how can I get a job with you? And I said, really, when I interview, I look for gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration. Are there things that you look for character-wise in people when you're surrounding yourself with them?
Yep, and add on people's hearts. Don't just talk to their mouth and their brain, feel their heart. You know, people can be really skilled. I've had some great actors around me as business people that turned out to be ripoffs. Mm. Oh my God, and you're cheating me, taking advantage of me. But the person had a great personality, enthusiastic, all that. But the heart never felt the same with them. Like, you know, they were really talking from the heart. And I have been looking at that more and more in the last decade on how to judge people from their heart. How do you feel about them as a human being? Their frequency, not just their words and enthusiasm.
That's awesome. You know, people like you realize people buy on emotion for logical reasons, right? And you're making that emotional connection. In fact, we were talking earlier, you won the Emmy Award for your episode of Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And people, it's played 200 and some times, but it's the most emotional episode of almost all of them, if not all of them. That's why it won the award.
Correct.
How do you tap into that inspiration or emotion? Because obviously you've been able to do it since you've been very young. You're a very emotional enthusiast. How do you tap into that? If I'm someone that's feeling down and depressed, for example, my quest in the world is over 50%. I mean, the number one cause of death for people under 50 in America now is suicide.
Yeah.
And we just have to teach people to tap into getting fired up and enthusiastic. How would you give them advice?
I love that question. If it was you, because I know you already have it, watch Good Fortune again. If you watch Good Fortune and you saw how many times this guy was unemployed, fired, had no place to go, had a kid, had a wife that walked away and left a kid on a pile with no money, okay? There's no way in hell you're gonna get lower than that, man. Watch that. You'll be, oh, wow, that's not so bad. Let's go.
That's awesome. I'm gonna actually watch. Even though I'm fired up, I'd be more fired up.
Go look at it.
Last question. So many great books out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Think and Grow Rich person.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What books would you advise someone who's starting out as an entrepreneur?
Great question. Yeah, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is about 70, 80 years old, one of the best books you could read. Selling Encyclopedias, they gave us this other book. It said you guys should read it. And it was great. I say this to everybody, okay? It's 80 years old, probably cost you $19. Buy it. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Oh, yeah.
One of the greatest books ever written, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And when you read it, if you didn't understand it, go back and go from the very beginning. One of the best books ever. How to Respect People is what that's really all about.
That is awesome. In fact, most people don't know, Dale Carnegie is the person who hired Napoleon Hill to go interview everyone, right?
For
Think
great?
And Grow Rich. Sure. And they should come, and for the new Think and Grow Rich, they should come and interview John Paul DeJorio, because you are an incredible person, a philanthropist, humanitarian, and for me, just I'm a big fan as an entrepreneur. It's just been an honor to be here with you. Thank you so much.
And sir, I'm very proud to be interviewed by a successful entrepreneur that goes after things in life that feels good to their hearts. Good for you, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I look forward to it. This is Dave Meltzer with John Paul DeJorio, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Peace, love, and happiness.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.